I'm going to read another excerpt from The Bible Tells Me So. Last week, I read a little bit of You Are Righteous Now. And we came up with the conclusion that we are. Right? And that was a statement. This one I'm going to read from is a question. Are you limiting God? Are we limiting God? So I'm going to read a few paragraphs. It says, Jesus Christ is the sweetest name I know, for it is in His name and His name alone that I see the unlimited possibilities in man. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that men and women are saved, born again, converted. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that the sick are healed, to rise up again and declare the glory of the Lord. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that devil spirits are cast out and people are forever freed in body and mind. Unless we know that name of Jesus Christ is a vital, living reality in our lives, we are most definitely limiting God. The Spirit of God is born within us the very moment we accept and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised Him from the dead. We know he got that from Romans 10:9, right? This is a supernatural miracle of God. We have nothing to do with this new birth except to allow it to take place in our lives. God is the miracle worker. He is the one who creates a new spirit within us and makes us His children. From then on, we are God's children. We belong to the family of God. We are children of God, sons of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Then we are no longer servants who know not what their master is about to do, but we are sons, sons of God. Satan then has no further legal rights over us unless we permit him. And I like that it says to accept a new birth, we have to allow it. And if Satan wants to get our legal rights over us, we have to permit it. So we don't permit it. We permit him to usurp authority which he does not rightfully possess. We may limit God in our lives by not knowing what is legally ours as sons of God by Christ Jesus. When Christ died on Calvary, he was our complete substitute for sin and the consequences of sin. Nothing was left undone in his substitution for us. When we begin to see this truth and we accept the work Christ accomplished as a finished reality, we become spirit-filled men and women who are well-pleasing in God's sight. When this great transformation takes place and we do not limit God, then we will not talk about worry, fear, anxiety, sickness, and want. We forget those negatives, for we are sons by the one who overcame. We are men and women who refuse to limit the power of God in us because we desire to bring the world the knowledge of the living Christ. When we do not limit God, we will be living in the Word, and the Word will be living in us. Our life will be the story of the vine and the branches. And he references 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Have we been limiting God in our lives? We must be if we do not have all sufficiency in everything. Sufficiency is the will of God for His children, in order that His children may abound unto every good work. Our sufficiency is God's will for us. Yet how many of us have limited God by not allowing Him to fulfill the promise in our lives? How slow we have been to realize that God is our ability, that He is the life of our lives, the strength of our strength, that He is our sufficiency. We frequently limit God in ourselves by our wrong believing, by accepting the knowledge that comes to us through the senses. Our reason says that just cannot be. And so we confess the negative. When all the time His Spirit within us is crying, sufficiency in everything. We have been so schooled to revere the knowledge that comes to us through our five senses that we fail to recognize the knowledge that comes from the higher realm, the spiritual, where the Word of God and not reason has first place. Both realms or worlds are here. The natural world is factual. The spiritual world is true. As there are four kingdoms in this world, and one supersedes the other. The plant kingdom, animal kingdom, and the kingdom of man, and the kingdom of God. So there is a natural world and a supernatural or spiritual world. The natural world and everything in it comes to the mind through or by way of the natural senses. The truth of the spiritual world are absolutely not dependent upon the senses, but rather on the Spirit of God in man. We cannot know anything about the spiritual world by the senses. That is why Paul said, by divine inspiration, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, because they, spiritual matters, are spiritually discerned. And it says here, I will give you a definition of righteousness that will help you to break the powers of darkness in and over your life. And we all remember this stuff. Righteousness is your God-given ability to stand in the Father's presence without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. That means that you as a child of God can also, I love this, stand in the very presence of Satan without fear or defeat because you know your rights in Christ and you have refused to limit your God. So that's pretty good. Pretty power-packed stuff. So we got to just continue to doing our best to not limit God and to go by way of the spiritual realm, his spiritual realm, instead of the things of the world. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1, you know, it was said about Satan being able to usurp our authority. I looked up the word usurp. And it says, take a position of power or importance, or by force. Yeah, take a power position of importance by force. And because we have God, he can't do that to us, as we keep going to God. And then Colossians, what did I say? Chapter 1, verse 10. These are some pretty powerful verses here. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that word worthy is appropriately, as becometh after a godly sort. So we can walk appropriately because we trust God. We love God. Strength, and then it goes on, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, not our glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that word strengthen comes from that word dunamis, miraculous power. And we only can get that power from God. And, so that's great that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, because without that we wouldn't be able to have that miraculous power. In Ephesians chapter 3 and we're going to start in verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, again, not ours, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that word grant means he committed unto us this wonderful, these riches. And the riches is great too, because it means wealth, fullness, and abundance. And again, with God, that's what we always have, is wealth, fullness, and more than abundance. He gave us, Christ came to give us that more abundant life. And then strengthened, again, is that might, that power, that miraculous power, again, that we can't get it anywhere else. We get it from God. So, where was I? Oh, 16. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passion, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That word comprehend, with all saints, we get to know every aspect of this great agape love. And that's the love, you know, same thing. We can only get it from God. We get to know every aspect. I love that it says breadth and length and depth and height. It's all covered. We get to know every bit of it. And then in verse 20, if that's not enough, it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So we have exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, that our feeble minds can think. Thank God for that, because we can't really think about too much of this great power and love that God has for us. In 1 John chapter 4, all of that because of God and what His Son accomplished for us. It wouldn't have happened any other way. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll start here in verse 1. It says here, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And I thought, when I read this verse, that word try means to test, approve, or discern. Do you think we could discern the spirits before we got God's Spirit in us? No. We would just be tossed to and fro by those things. But because of God, we can try Him. We can discern Him. We can know if they're good or not good. But again, we couldn't know it any other way. Verse 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So there again, God made it easy for us to have to discern these things. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children. Every one of us in this room and in Zoom world are of God, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that overcome means to subdue, conquer. We get the victory because of God in any aspect in this life. Overcome means they bring horrible things. We get to overcome those horrible things. Every single time we go to God, He will help us to overcome them. So you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, totally defeated them, because we have something greater in us, in this life, better than anything the world could ever do. And I wanted to read in Acts chapter 16, a little record here. Acts 16. And verse 22, we'll start. This is Paul and Silas, I believe. 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. They didn't buy their clothes, they rented them. That's just a little humor. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they didn't want these guys getting out of there. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were worried and dismayed, and they're like, why did God allow this to happen to us? No. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And I just thought that this, what a great record. He didn't worry. He didn't whine about, you know, why he was in there. He just let go and let God. Remember that phrase, let go and let God. Let God take care of it. We're going to see tribulations. We're going to see, you know, not so great things happen in our lives. But if we continue to go to Him and expect Him to do what He does, and to see that limitless power of Him, He will do it. Twenty-nine. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So they get into this fix. They get into this mess. God takes care of them. And what do? They take care of the guard. That's great love. That's the love of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're just going to read verse 5 because it's a wonderful verse. It says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is what?
Of God."
And that word sufficient is that word is ample, enough, or able, and then sufficiency is the ability. So we are, because of what God did, we are sufficient, we are able, we have it all. We can have more than we could possibly ever want in this life because of God. Jeremiah 32. And we're going to read verse 17. If I can get there. Oh, here we go. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And is there nothing too hard for thee?" Well, is there anything too hard for God? No. Verse 19. Well, let's read verse 18 too. What the heck? We're here. "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." I think I wanted to read verse 27. Verse 27. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" No. There's not one thing that's too hard for God. And that's what we need to keep, we should keep in our minds, that nothing is too hard for God, nothing is too small, nothing is too big. Any sin, any sickness, anything that's on our hearts, He can take care of anytime. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and we're going to read, start in verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely." And comely just means beautiful and suitable. God loves to hear us. "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healed the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by all their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." We have a God that knows every star in the universe or galaxy. What's bigger?
Universe.
Universe. So anyway, we have a God that named every one of those stars and remembers them. I can remember the Big Dipper. That's about it. But He knows exactly every star. And that's just one thing that He knows. So we got a great God that's taking care of us. In Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 25. This is after they were having a talk about who can be saved and who can't be saved and how to get saved, but it said in verse 25, it says, "When His disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And again, the only way people can get saved is because of God and what His Son accomplished. But yeah, with men it's impossible. But we have a God that takes the impossible and just throws it aside. And then Psalm 139, I should have told you to keep your finger there, I'm sorry. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and we're going to start in verse 7. And these few verses here just talks about God's limitless presence in His people's lives. And I just thought it was wonderful. It's verse 7. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." That's a great God. And He is limitless, unlimited in the things He can do for us. And all He asks of us is to go to Him and to keep praying to Him and loving Him. And He does the same for us. So